Connor, and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight, we chat about choosing the right sales agent with the fabulous duo of Joe and Mike from Buffett & Thompson Grey Lynn, and we hear about their own real estate journey. Remember, you can download our podcast from buffett.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome along on another Monday afternoon to Property Matters. It's school holidays. Hope you are surviving, parents out there. I'm Stephen Dello, delighted to have you tuned into our show. I'm sure you know by now, but each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. Now, this is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point. At propertymatters@buffett.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page at Property Matters Radio, and we'll get the experts to answer your questions in upcoming episodes. Now, I am delighted to have two fabulously dressed real estate agents in the room today, the very wonderful Joe Pickering and Mike Vermeulen. Hope I got that right, from Buffett & Thompson Grey Lynn.
Hi, Steve.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you here, and thanks for giving up your Monday afternoon. And before we sort of dive into the theme of the day, which is around choosing an agent, I'm curious to unpack your own journeys in real estate and what you did prior to that. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, team.
Sure. So I actually started my career in banking and spent about 15 years in banking, and then went into recruitment for another 15 years or so. So I've had a very strong sales and negotiation background, and here I am in real estate. So about 5 years ago, I decided I need to do something a bit different that still involved people and sales. And so 5 years ago, I switched to real estate.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. And Mike, what about you?
Yeah, so for me, I guess going a wee bit back, I started working in our family business.
Okay.
My father was a baker, so when I left school, I got into that. A lot of early mornings, which was pretty tough.
I don't see any baking treats coming into the studio tonight, though.
No, he's retired now. So. look, then I got into freight forwarding. Wasn't too sure what I was doing with my life, but that was something my brother was in, so I got into that. And then when I was in my early 20s, I got into real estate, not really knowing what I wanted to do. I thought that this would be great. But, yeah, so ever since then, I've been in real estate, been doing it for about 15 years now. Love it. Have had a little bit of exposure overseas and selling as well. But wouldn't want to do anything else.
That's cool. And how did you both end up partnering together? Is there a deep, dark story behind that one?
I wish it's not that deep, dark, no. Is it? So I'd worked at the Grey Lynn office for Buffett for about 5 years, and then about 3.5 years ago, Mike joined the office, and we shared a couple of listings together, which actually worked out really well because it was sort of a nice combination of both our skill sets. And we decided to make it more of a formal partnership about 3 years ago, and so we've been working as a team since then, and it's quite a nice balance with the two of us, really.
Yeah. Does that work well, sharing that load as a team?
Yeah, look, I think it really does. It can be quite a hard business when you're on your own, so to have somebody else that you can kind of lean on, talk things over and just work together and have a bit of fun along the way is really great. So, yeah, I mean, I love being teamed up with someone, especially Joe. We're such good friends as well. So it just works so perfectly for us. And I think that we can offer a lot to clients as well, being a team.
Yep.
Especially a male and female team.
Yeah. And I imagine finding that balance is important, though.
Yeah.
You know, this could have gone horribly wrong.
It could have. It could have, but we're thankful it didn't. And
do you have certain skills that, you know, one of you tends to do more of this specific thing? Or how do you sort of balance that load?
We do. I guess having both of us with two different sort of personalities and appeal to different types of buyers and sellers. So we tend to sort of, for example, our open homes, Mike tends to be the one greeting people at the door, taking their names and details. Mm-hmm. And I tend to be the one inside talking to people and having a chat to them about what they're looking for in the property itself. Nice. And we find that really works because it sort of gives us a separation in our skills as well and appealing to different people. It means also that some people gravitate to myself naturally and some people gravitate to Mike naturally. So it means that there's two different sort of areas we can cover.
You've got the bases covered well and truly.
Yeah. We do.
Yeah, I'm sort of a little bit more process driven, a little bit more analytical. Yes. Joe's the other way around, so I think between us we've got everything well covered. Nothing slips through the cracks, and I guess as a team we cover all the bases, which really works well.
That's cool. Mm. All right, let's get down to sort of the topic of today. So those thinking about choosing an agent to represent their home, what do you reckon people should look for when making this huge decision? Because it is important to get this person right.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And as we said before, it's such a journey. So it's a roller coaster of emotions for the people who are selling, people who are buying, and even for Mike and I, because we're basically living that journey with those people as well. So both from a buyer and a seller perspective. So I think the number one thing that we always find is that working with people that you like, people that you get on well with, and it's all about communication. So that's really important too for us as well as the people we're dealing with, whether they're buyers or sellers really.
Yeah, I think also just having that experience in the marketplace. As a new person, you're kind of learning the ropes, but as an experienced team, there's not been any situations where we haven't really had. Mm. So in order to kind of, things pop up all the time and you've got to deal with them quite quickly, and with experience you can do that. Also just having a large company behind us, the biggest company in Auckland, it certainly helps. We've got more people on the street, so it just, that works really well too. Mm.
That's all wrapped around you as agents, as the company and everything that sits behind
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, we are the face of the product, which in this case is the house that we're representing and the people we're selling for. So as we said, it's really important to trust experienced agents and having that sort of level of connection and communication with those people that you're dealing with.
Mm. Yeah. Would you suggest people go to open homes to get a feel of what that potential agent might be like and sort of see them in action?
Because it could be quite different from meeting someone for 1, 2, 3 times before you sign up to sell with that agent to what they actually conduct themselves like at an open home. So it actually is quite a good idea to do a bit of shopping around, a bit of window shopping. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, just see how they're interacting with buyers and the material that they're using to present your home. A lot of the times we walk into open homes and some agents don't have any material and we kind of feel that the property might not be represented that well. So we just make sure that we always have a lot of information for buyers, because that's what buyers want to know, is information, like who are the neighbours, what's sold recently, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's good to stop by a few open homes and just see what everyone's doing.
Mm. Yeah. How do you know if the agent is giving you a realistic price? Mm. You know, I guess it's the biggest fear, you know, they're just going to say the figure that attracts you to move to them. How do we gauge that? If I'm selling my property, how do I know that you're giving me the best price? Mm. Guide, I guess.
Yeah, no, look, it's a very tricky one. I think even as agents, you know, what we say is an educated guess at best. I think the best way would be to just go through the open homes, follow up on sales results, you know, go to auctions, see what's selling. Also, when you're going to an open home, for example, grab some recent sales material. So ask the agent, you know, what's sold recently in the area that's comparable with this property that you're looking at. And then just become a bit of an expert in the area yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of the times the buyers actually know sales information the best, because they're out in the market all the time, every weekend.
Were you meaning as a seller as well, Stephen?
Yeah. Like, you know, if I'm being enticed by different agents to sell my home, how do I gauge that they are the most realistic?
Yeah. Like Mike said, it is an educated guess from all aspects, because all we can do is look at the recent sales in the area for when we're doing an appraisal. So, and no two houses are the same. Yeah. So there could be a house that's got 3 bedrooms plus a study, and then we're looking at appraising a three-bedroom property. But there's other aspects that's a pros and cons to both properties. So it's always very hard to compare two properties together. So we do as much as we can with an educated guess. It all comes down to the market that we're selling in, and it also does come down to the process.
Right.
So the end result will come out if the process is followed.
Right.
Usually the appraisals, like you said before, sometimes there could be people out there that want to get the listing by over appraising. It does happen, but it's always very hard for us even to say, really.
Yeah.
Is the government CV these days no longer that lovely, pretty close to guide because of current market?
No.
Not even close. look, we follow the sales every month, and there's hardly ever any that go under the CV.
Yeah. Or even very close to it, really.
Not even close. Yeah. So it really has no bearing at the moment at all.
Right.
Especially because those CVs were done in 2017.
Right.
And it's quite outdated to what the market is. I mean, the main thing at the moment is supply versus demand, really, which drives the price. Mm. So,
have you had some surprises, those moments like in the auction room where even you were surprised for what it's gone for?
Yeah, it does happen, and it's great.
Yeah,
it's so lovely to have that happen for the sellers, you know, and to see the joy on their face, and it's a life-changing experience. Mm. So it's almost like winning lotto sometimes. we've seen it where we've had pre-auction offers, and the owners are happy to accept that offer. It goes to auction, and then they get almost $1 million more. So that really is life-changing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What regulations or regulation authority is in place to ensure agents adhere to current guidelines and it's sort of a code of conduct? How are we protected?
It's changed a lot. So I remember when I first got into real estate, there was no regulation, really. Even just getting my license took about a day and a half.
Wow.
And now it's very much different, but for the better.
Yeah.
So it's the real estate agent's authority and the code of conduct that we have to adhere to. That can be seen on their website. It's all covered there. Mm-hmm. But there's quite a strict guideline now for real estate agents to follow, which is really good for the industry, I think.
Yeah,
that's important. How do you stay up to date with regulations yourselves? Is there regular training, things
there
that you
is.
Need to do?
Yeah, so there's a certain amount of hours we need to do each year, which we refer to as verifiable hours. So that's 10 hours a year. And we do that every quarter.
Right.
So each quarter could be a different subject, but a lot of it is about regulations and, I guess, standards and processes we need to follow. So it is very highly regulated and very tightly, kept together.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Can you talk me through the process now? If I bring you to look at one of my homes, what's the first step to getting signed up with an agent through from marketing through to open homes, the sales aspect? Guide me through the whole process. If I'm a new person listening to this show and I'm about to sell for the first time, what am I going to expect?
Yeah. So the way, I mean, I guess all agents are quite different in the way they approach the process. Mike and I tend to be, we'll go and meet the seller. The first meeting's always about getting to know them, getting to know their property, their motivations, what they want to achieve, telling them a bit about us and what we can offer as a team. So that's always the first meet and greet sort of meeting. It's usually about an hour or so, lots of chat and getting to know each other, which is really important, really, because you do need to kind of have that connection with each other. Then we'll go away and we'll come back with more sales information with regards to the property itself and what we think is a educated guess on the market value of the property. So that tends to take sort of another hour or so. So there's always two meetings that we'd run. And we talk about how we run the process with that person, what the best method of sale can be, dependent on the property, what type of buyers, what sort of marketing aspects we think would apply to that property, the calendar to which they should run that campaign to.
Right.
And then obviously give them an market appraisal for their property, which, referring back to the regulations, is requirement. So we do that, go away, and then we come back and sign up the property on the third visit. No.
That's the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. Ideal situation. But then, you know, post, I guess, listing, do you want to...
Yeah, so then I guess we just prepare all the marketing, get all the marketing templates in line, get all the photography done, the video, everything that we need to get that property out into the marketplace and make a really big splash. And then once you're live and you've got all the marketing in place, then we move into open homes, which is, you know, they're usually about half an hour for an open home on each day of the weekend. And then we have weekly meetings every week, and we just run the owners through all the feedback. So we want the owners to know the buyers as well as we do.
That's cool.
Yeah. So when we get to auction, we can kind of point out who these people are and they know their background. And then, yeah, generally if it's an auction, then the next step would be we move through to an auction process and the selling of the property.
Mm. That's cool. And you recommend auctions still over any other way?
It is mainly property driven, but in this market it's very successful.
Right.
Because in a way you're trying to get the cleanest deal possible. Mm. So an auction's an unconditional sale at the market value. So you don't have to sell by auction, but it's generally the best results for properties.
Is there a better time of year to sell? I mean, we're in the middle of winter now. Should we be prepping for a spring open home, or how does that work? Or is there always people looking throughout the year?
Always people looking throughout the year. So what we tend to find is that sellers tend to hold back to spring because they think better weather. Right. The house is a bit more on show.
Yep.
So, you know, the sun's out, everyone's out having a good time. But as we know, buyers are always looking. And in fact, a winter open home can be as attractive because you can have the fire going and it's all very cosy and people are a bit more sort of, there's not much else to do.
Well, so and if you fall in love with a house in the middle of winter, you're going to love it in summer, aren't
exactly.
you? I mean, that's a good test too, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And even as a seller, I think when you're selling in the wintertime, you have less competition. So there's more buyers probably coming through your open homes during the winter than in spring or summer, because in spring and summer there's so many more listings. So I think you can kind of get a bigger buyer pool during winter time. But there's no right or wrong time to sell. It's just whenever you're ready, I think.
And what about staging your house? I mean, these days, you know, the income, the stages and all the beautiful furniture goes up. But what if you are at home living with a family? That's not always possible, is it? How do you manage that?
Yeah. It's very tricky if you're living in the property that you're selling, which a lot of people do, obviously. So we tend to not stage those properties as much. Stagers like to do vacant property because, as you said, you know, usage of furniture, etc. Most often we only stage vacant properties, really.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the sweet spot is trying to stage it yourself but still have it lived in. So it's just finding that happy medium. Sometimes a stage property can almost look a little bit sterile. So to have a bit of personality.
A declutter, those sorts of things, prepare to move out. So you've started to do that.
Yeah. So we actually have a lot of contacts that people can come, professionals can come and help people that are selling with consulting them about staging and moving things around and restyling it. We also have handymen on call who can come and help people, you know, clean up the gardens, wash their houses, etc. So, yeah, it's kind of like trying to present that property as best you can. Decluttering is a key one because, as we all know, we hold on to things that we might not need, but we think we might need. And, yeah, so it's sort of a process in that sense as well. Yeah.
All right, here's top secret question here.
Yeah.
For your open homes, are you still brewing coffee and baking bread? Is that still happening?
It is top secret.
It is. Okay. Come along to one of their open homes on Saturday, and if you smell coffee or bread, give me a call on it.
Yes.
Still works. Yeah. There's something homey about it, though, isn't it? Especially coffee. I love coming in and going, oh, yeah, this has just got that smell.
Yeah, it's welcoming, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't brew coffee or bake muffins, but we try and add a few sweet treats to the open homes. So,
We have like little jar of lollies and things for the kids, and we have waters and all that kind of thing. But, you know, if we got the opportunity to go in a little bit earlier and bake a loaf of bread, you know, we're up for it.
We?
Well, you know, he was a baker. Come on. Are there any other tips or tricks you have for owners who are preparing their home for sale?
Other tricks.
I think it's just first impressions is a big one. So, and that's, you know, obviously said time and again, but just that curbside appeal and that first feeling a buyer gets walking into your home. You want to make the outside look as best as possible. So wash the house, have all the gardens tidy and looking fresh.
I guess the key objective is to minimise objections from buyers for that property.
Right, yeah.
So if, for example, you've got a pet and, you know, if a buyer comes in and they can smell dog or, you know, see cat fur, it could put people off. So it's just sort of a process of eliminating objections, really, from buyers. So we've actually got, we've worked through a bit of a list ourselves of 21 tips to kind of give to our sellers that they can follow. And they might not need to do all 21, but there might be a couple of things they hadn't thought about on that list that need attention.
And you're right, that first impression.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And anything that's not working, like leaky taps or light fittings, always really important to get that fixed before you go to market.
I know of people who have had their neighbours' lawns mowed.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Because the first impression was actually, well, your neighbour hasn't done their lawns for a while.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll come and do your neighbour. Yeah. Do the lawns. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Once a home is sold, are there anything owners need to be prepared for between the time of that sale going through and them leaving the house? Any sort of things they need to think about?
Yeah, so legally the buyers have a right to do a final inspection of the property prior to settlement, and that is basically just to make sure that the property is how they saw it when they first purchased it.
So no wild parties before you leave.
No wild parties, no holes in the wall, anything like that. And also just to make sure that all the chattels are working, so that the oven's working, all the light fittings. Everything that's listed as a chattel needs to be in working order. And then also sometimes they may ask just to have another inspection just to measure things up or anything like that sometimes as well. But it's on a case-by-case basis.
Cool. So just being prepared that they will be returning.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, we are about to head to a music break. So before we do, I'm going to give you a time for a one-minute shameless plug.
Oh.
All right, you get to promote yourself. Why do you think people should choose you as the perfect duo to sell their home?
Wow, where do we start? The list's so long. But I guess the main point, Stephen, as we said before, it's we're male-female. We've got different skills and attributes that appeal to a wide audience of buyers and sellers. So relating to people is big. We've got experience on our side. So we've both, well, Mike's been in real estate for a very long time. And as Mike said before, we've seen a lot of scenarios and we can cover a lot of different things change constantly. So we can cover a lot of those scenarios between us. And it's just having two people that have got your back, basically. Yeah.
Nicely said. All right, we'll take a quick music break now. Delta Goodrum is heading to Auckland in October. Tickets are available through Auckland Live. So here she is with the fabulous Born to Try. Fabulous. Delta Goodrum, Born to Try, and here in Auckland in October at the Aotea Centre. Head to Auckland Live for tickets. Now, here at Planet FM, we are having a bit of a fundraising drive and we need your help. We're based here on the grounds of Unitech on Carrington Road, and with the massive housing development about to start, we have had to look for a new home and are excited to announce that we have purchased right next to our wonderful neighbours, in fact, at Barfoot and Thompson, Mount Albert. Now, thanks for amazing funding support, we've been able to purchase this new studio, but we do need your help with the fit out. Planet FM will set the space up for five other fantastic not-for-profit organisations to join them, including the Red Cross, Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition, Belong Aotearoa, Asylum Seekers Support Trust, and the Refugee Health and Wellbeing Trust. So if you can support us in any way, please head to planetfm.org.nz/donate. It would be appreciated. Now, welcome back to the show. If you have something you or your company would like to share with investors, landlords or tenants, do get in touch with us by emailing propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. And today I'm joined by wonderful guest sales agents from Barfoot & Thompson, Grey Lynn, Mike and Joe. Now, you are based in Grey Lynn, so I'm curious, what's the current market like in your patch?
Yeah, so we're based in Grey Lynn. We focus on Grey Lynn, Westmere and Western Springs. So we specialise in those areas. I guess the biggest thing for us at the moment is a lack of listings.
Right.
So plenty of buyers. There's, you know, always been plenty of buyers for these central locations, but now you've got people moving back from overseas because of COVID, and just finding it hard to get a home. So the biggest issue is new listings, really.
Mm. I mean, it's always, Grayland's always a popular spot for people. So
what do you love about Grey Lynn and the surrounding sort of areas?
the variety.
Yeah.
The variety of people. You know, we're in the little hub of the Greyland shops next to the butcher and Kokako, what postal service now. And it's a very real spot to work in, really, because it's
quite edgy.
Quite a variety of people. You know, we've got people who have lived in the area for a long time and they've, you know, born and bred Greylanders. We've got new people moving into the area. We've got quite a diverse community, which has been a really nice place to work. We're quite a diverse branch at Greyland as well, so it works really well.
Yeah. Just so close to everything as well, you know, close to Ponsonby.
City, motorways,
everything.
You name it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, look, over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about first home buyers. We interviewed several on the show. We've had mortgage advisors in. As sales agents, what tips or tricks do you have up your sleeve to help someone get on the property ladder for the very first time?
Yeah, probably ask mum and dad for a loan. No. Look, I think the biggest thing is obviously to save for a deposit, first and foremost, and just try to reduce any debt that you've got that you don't need to be holding on to, and to be realistic and prepared to compromise on what you want to buy.
Yeah, get on it first. Get
exactly.
on that ladder. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'd all like a spa and a pool and all that kind of thing and to live in Greyland, but there's plenty of property outside of, you know, these areas that you can still buy in at a really reasonable price. So I think you have to compromise a lot of the time.
I think that's probably the key thing, really. Yeah. We tend to come across some first-time buyers in the properties we list, and compromise is a big thing because, as Mike said, you can actually live in an amazing property just slightly outside of the central city and, you know, get on the ladder.
Yeah.
Get onto that ladder first and then move on from there.
Do you have any current listings yourselves that would suit a first home buyer?
We tend to do a little bit of sort of bigger properties, I guess, when we do sell, but we're actually working on a listing at the moment that would be absolutely perfect for an investor. We haven't got it signed up, but we've got our fingers crossed and we could share that.
And a first-time buyer.
Next time.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Yeah. We'll plug your website at the end and people will keep an eye for it to pop up. Switching gear a little bit now, what is it that you love about real estate so much?
I think it's the people. You know, it comes down to the people, really. Yes, it is a sales environment, but houses are sort of a byproduct of that. It's mainly dealing with different types of people and helping people achieve their goals, you know, whether that's moving up the property ladder, downsizing, moving out of Auckland, whatever it is, it's quite a nice space to be in to help people with that journey.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're passionate about property. It's also awesome to have those results, like we talked about before, where a seller gets an amazing price and you just see that joy on their face. So just to see all that emotion is really awesome. And then I guess just as business people, it's our own business within a business. So whatever we put in, we get back out. And for Joe and I know that really drives us to be really good and do a great job.
Well, reputation is everything. I mean, it is a saturated market. There's plenty of real estate agents, so you do have to stand by your reputation.
Yeah.
You know, if people were thinking of getting into this as a career, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think it's good not to sugarcoat it, you know, because it's a pretty tough industry. It's a hard business, but there's a lot of reward if, you know, you're prepared to stick it out and do the time. So I think just getting into it with the view of being able to make money quickly is not necessarily accurate. You've got to put a lot of hard work, sweat and tears into it. So for Joe and I, for example, we're establishing our brand. We're always establishing ourselves. We door knocked our way through the whole of Greyland, all of Westmere and all of Western Springs. So you've got to be prepared to do that. You've got to be prepared to work every day, evenings, weekends, and be prepared to not earn anything for a year at first, I'd say.
Yeah. It's tough.
It is tough. And, I mean, the rewards are there and it will come.
Yeah.
It's a timing investment thing as well. I think people sort of look at real estate agents and think, oh, gosh, they're earning so much money because properties have gone up in value. But the reality is that we don't earn anything until we sell something, obviously. And that all the hard work we put in has to build up to that.
Yeah.
So I think people are wanting to get into real estate. Yep, it's an awesome career. Love it. And would think I'd be doing this forever now. But it is hard work, so be prepared.
People always say they like the flexibility of, you know, doing their own hours, etc. But I imagine that comes with enormous discipline.
It does. We have to be disciplined.
And
it,
does that help in a partnership too? Because you can sort of look after each other, but equally give each other a break if someone's needing it?
Yeah. We tend to, it's kind of like having a gym buddy, in fact, really, in a partnership, because we keep each other accountable to what we need to do, to tasks we need to do. And we because there's two of us, we need to be in the office five days a week. So we do tend to be in the office. And it is a nice balance for personal life as well, to kind of have a partner that you trust and can work well with and give each other a break when you need to.
Yeah, and it's a very up and down business emotionally as well. So just to have somebody you can rely on to kind of G you up at the end of the day or whenever you need it, you know, we can keep each other going and sane. So, it's nice.
Do you find in this world of social media you're kind of on call 24/7 with messages at odd hours now?
Because it is our business and, you know, we are running our own business, we do tend to respond straight away with any social media, any contact, any phone call. But it is 24/7.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the nature of the beast, really.
It is.
Yeah.
How do you stand out in this crowded market, do you think? Is it your point of difference that you're a team?
Yeah, I think so. You know, look, I think it's quality marketing of ourselves. It's also just, like, I don't know, it's all about attitude too. So it's your energy, it's everything that goes into what you're doing. Doing a good service for your clients will then get, you know, spoken to other people as well. So there's a whole lot of word of mouth that really goes a long way, especially in a crowded marketplace.
We always say what you put out is what you get it back in. So the effort and the energy and the positive vibes, I guess, for a better word, that we put out, we hope to get back.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a bit of karma, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've been absolutely fantastic to chat with today. Thank you for giving up your Monday afternoon. If people want to track you down, have a look at what you're up to and keep in touch, how can they find you on website, social media, etc.?
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's been awesome.
Great.
Yeah, so people can go to joeandmike.co.nz. It's our website, or our contact details are there, as well as a lot of other information that they can look through as well.
And you're on the Facebook and the Instagram and all those things.
We are, and also obviously the Barfoot website for Greylin as well. So if they go to barfoot.co.nz and look up Greylin, we'll be there.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Well, all the best with the winter months turning to spring soon, and hope you continue to be busy.
Lovely. Great. Thanks,
Stephen. Thank you so much. And if you've got something you'd like to share with us, email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz and check out our podcast at barfoot.co.nz/propertymatters. Thanks so much for joining us today. As we close the show, we in the media and entertainment world would like to acknowledge the sad passing of Philip Sherry over the weekend.
A man in court charged with Monica Cantwell's murder. Our national symbol, the Kiwi, now facing a new threat. And for some of tomorrow's schools, the funding doesn't add up. Good evening. An Auckland man is in prison tonight after being charged with the murder of English tourist Monica Cantwell.
Philip was an outstanding news broadcaster who set the standard for the industry. He was also a school friend and family friend of my father, who will always tell great stories of fun and mischief that he would get up to, especially at school. We send his family lots of love. In his own words, that was the way it was. Thanks for joining us and good night. Have a great week.